Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
Thunder select Chet Holmgren with the third pick, Jabari Smith Jr.
Let it out, young fellas. This is about the journey. I'm just so happy.
The lights don't get much brighter than this. I didn't want to stop until I was walking across that stage.
You know, I'm going to come in and I'm going to do what I do.
I'm ready.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max on ESPN Radio, Sirius XM Channel 80, ESPN 2. We're on your smart speakers. Say play ESPN. You can download the podcast. Harry Douglas in for Key and Jay, doing the work of two men, Harry.
Talk about Iron Man contest.
That's right. I would take some of that work from you, but I'm not going to do it. I just like doing the work of one man, and you can do the
plus
work
you're
of
injured.
Two.
You know, I don't
yes, that's right. I'm playing hurt.
That's what I'm saying. So I'm just happy that you're here right now.
Yes, this is an underreported story. I am doing this show right now, Harry, with a detached retina in my left eye. Detached retina. More than Sugar Ray Leonard did when he had a detached retina. He retired immediately. All right. We have Seth Greenberg coming up in how many minutes till Seth is on right now? Is it 7:01?
Depends on if you break on time. But
if
probably,
I break on
probably
time.
14 minutes if you break on time.
And what if I don't break on time?
Okay, 20. Evan.
20 minutes from now, Seth Greenberg.
It was my understanding that there would be no math.
So... And we got to go all over the, you know, listen, Paolo Banchero, Vegas said he was going to go one. All the experts and people who talked to people said, Smith is going one. And then Banchero went one. Well, how did Vegas figure that out? Banchero going to the Orlando Magic. We're going to get into that. But right now, Harry Douglas, Chris Canty, co-host of Canty and Carlin on ESPN Radio, quite a lineup here on ESPN Radio, said on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max just days ago. Listen to what he said about Dak Prescott.
Has any quarterback done less with more? Think about the supporting cast that Dak Prescott has come into pretty much every season.
Especially
that he's had.
Last year.
I mean, Ezekiel Elliott, rushing
Especially
champ, Amari Cooper, CeeDee Lamb. I mean, you name
Michael
it.
Michael Gallup.
One of the best offensive lines that we've seen in the last two decades in the National Football League. Last year, you had a player on the defensive side of the ball that was in the conversation for Defensive Player of the Year. He might be the best defensive player coming into 2022.
Kirk Cousins.
That being Micah Parsons. But all I'm simply saying is, for the $40 million that Jerry Jones paid him every single year, like $40 million average annual value for a guy that was considered once upon a time to be a top 10 quarterback, why don't we have more from Dak Prescott when it matters the most?
It's a hell of a
point. Only one playoff win? Come on, bro.
We're
sitting here waiting on it now.
You
don't have any excuse as to why you can't get it done.
So, Chris Canty lays out the case. Who has done less with more than Dak? 888-SAY-ESPN, 729-3776. And we will actually take your calls today. We're actually going to take your call. Sometimes, Harry, I fall in love with the sound of my own voice, the mellifluous sound of my own voice, and sometimes I just can't take calls because I want to listen to myself. But today, I think we're actually going to take calls.
Let's hear from the people.
888-SAY-ESPN, 729-3776. The people are okay. They're just okay. And the question is, who's done less with more in the NFL than Dak Prescott? And, Harry, I have a question for you.
Mm-hmm.
Is it, in fact, the case that Chris Canty is right, that Dak Prescott has done less with more, or is some of it about we pay so much attention to the Dallas Cowboys? Football's not the kind of sport like basketball. You know the starting five. Only mm-hmm. five dudes, none of them wearing helmets, right?
Yep.
You all see them with the ball and everything. The camera's right up on them. Football is different. You know the quarterback. You know the most fans. You know the quarterback, the coach, maybe, you know, maybe a star receiver, maybe a running back if they got a good one. Only a handful of dudes that you know on each team, right? Mm-hmm. Most fans. So because the Cowboys are such a national brand and we pay so much attention to them, how much of it is, in fact, that we're more familiar with the roster. The average fan, and even us, we spend more time scrutinizing and talking about their players. So their players are more famous than players on other teams. So we think about them differently. We think about, the, like, well, you know so many of these names on Dallas, all these marquee names, that we tend to overrate, in fact, the talent on Dallas. Is that happening, or is Dak, in fact, doing less with more, Harry?
I have to say, when you look at last year, I thought he definitely did less with more, especially when we've seen the first game of the year against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and we see the numbers that Dak Prescott put up. Now, has injuries, did injuries play a part in that last year? I believe so, because a lot of his numbers went significantly down when he got injured and he came back, and we've seen how he played. Well, when you look at a guy who has three prominent receivers, you looked at CeeDee Lamb, you had Amari Cooper, you had Michael Gallup, you had Dalton Schultz, you had two solid running backs, you had an offensive line.
They did have an – I mean, the offensive line's been deteriorating for several years, but it still was solid.
Exactly. Yeah. You're like, okay, what's the problem? But then you've seen the decision-making by Dak, and then not being able to roll out and do certain things, use his athleticism that we're accustomed to seeing Dak use – now you start to think, okay, is Dak making the plays? Is he playing up to the standards of the $40 million that he's making on the contract that Jerry Jones gave him? And if you had to ask me last year, I didn't think he lived up to his standards or playing the brand of football that he should have been playing. Now, I also think that when you have a coach like Mike McCarthy, who came from Green Bay, who's known for passing the football, I think that played a lot into it as well. I thought that the Dallas Cowboys last year should have ran the football effectively a lot more than what they did, especially when you have a quarterback that you know that is not 100%.
So who has done less with more than Dak? That's the gauntlet has been thrown down, right?
I got a couple
Chris Canty. Well, Jason in Florida has a name. Listen to this one.
Hey, fellas, I think this one's pretty obvious. You talk about an offensive line, a run game, two stud wide receivers. What the hell was Baker Mayfield doing? What, are you kidding me? Odell Beckham, Jarvis Landry, Nick Chubb.
Whoa.
How did we forget Baker?
Because he's not starting anymore.
He's not a starting quarterback.
But you know what? Listen, that Jason in Florida, ding, ding, you're absolutely right. But let me tell you, here's some mitigating. You answered the question. Technically, you got the answer right.
Yeah.
But the truth of the matter is, and I want to say this was Brian Windhorst, who said there was an attorney in his family, maybe his wife, who says, you're correct but not right, or something like that.
Yeah.
You're correct. You answered the question. But there are a couple things. One, we don't think of Baker as elite or potentially elite anymore. And Dak, and you can
and
see that's reflected.
Have a contract
it's reflected in his contract. Dak got paid because at the very least he was a B+, and some people thought he was an A or trending that way. And so he's not just doing less with more, but he's underperforming expectations. But technically, he's right, man. Baker had everything on that team. To be fair to Baker, he was hurt last year. Year before, got to the playoffs, he was hurt last year.
Like, I understand he was hurt last year, but he was out there. Right? He was out there.
Wasn't his throwing shoulder.
Exactly. Yeah. It's a ton of people in the NFL on a weekly basis. I tell people this all the time, that play injured and play hurt. Like, that's –
But let me tell you something, Harry. For me, he was in a little special situation. He's in a contract year, right? Mm-hmm. Got a squad around him. So what do? You got to play if you can possibly, but
– It's not your throwing shoulder.
The eyeball test to me – now, remember, I have a detached retina, so maybe I wasn't seeing it right. But the eyeball test to me – was Baker was not Baker. Like, what percentage of him was he, right?
Yeah.
I'd say 70% at best, maybe less. Like, when I looked at him at the year, the thing I saw from Baker was when he had that game against Lamar, when Lamar came out of the bathroom, mm-hmm. right? Baker let him right. It was like a little poor man's version of Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes. Like, whoever touched the ball last was going to win because Baker marched him right down the field.
Yep.
And then Lamar just
comes from inside.
That's right.
Whatever he had to do, we're not going to say whatever he had to do.
He showed you what he had inside. And he came out and just let, but I got the feeling like if Baker would have had, touched the ball last, maybe they would have won. So that year to me, but listen, that's part of the package. When you're a smaller guy and you're not fast and you play in the NFL.
Where's Tannenbaum when we need him?
Yeah.
Where's Tannenbaum? But I'll say this. When you look at a guy like Baker, He didn't have one tight end. He didn't have two tight ends. He had three tight ends. Mm-hmm. Harrison Bryant, Austin Hooper, and Njoku. He had the receivers.
Njoku
he had
was
the
hurt here and there, but yeah.
I'm saying, but he had three of them.
Yeah.
I know a lot of teams right now that
yeah, but what about Njoku. Receiver, Harry? All he had was Odell Beckham Jr.
And Jarvis Landry.
Would be Super Bowl MVP if he would have stayed in that game. And Jarvis Landry. And an offensive line.
Two solid running backs.
And a defense. And a dude on his team who could go get the quarterback.
Like, how much pretty of a picture can you paint for Baker Mayfield to have success?
So we have an answer. Baker's done less with more than Dak Prescott. Anyone else? Although, did Baker win a playoff game that year?
Yeah,
he did.
They beat the
he has the same
the Steelers.
Number. He has the same number of playoff wins career as Dak Prescott.
Yeah.
Oh, Dak, it's looking bad. This is Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, presented by Progressive Insurance. Harry Douglas in for Key and Jay today. Coming to you live from above the Heineken River Deck at Pier 17. What NBA franchise is closer to winning a title after last night's draft? Next on ESPN Radio, Sirius XM Channel 80. Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Keyshawn, Jay, Will, and Max, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM Channel 80, Harry Douglas in for Key and Jay, and Seth Greenberg, ESPN basketball analyst, with us now. Coach, good morning.
Good morning. What's happening, guys?
Well, what's happening? What's happening is Vegas got it right, Coach. Like, everyone talking.
I know they pump faked me. I left my feet. I got to admit, Max, I left my feet. I had some conversations with the Magic, too, so. In 24 hours, that thing flipped.
Isn't that crazy? And why? What's in it for the Magic to not tell people what their real intention is? They're picking first. They don't need to fake anyone out, right? But whatever people talking.
I'm not sure they made up their decision until the late last minute. I really don't.
In that case, I think it takes some guts, right? Because Jabari Smith maybe has the highest floor. Is like at least he's a very good 3-and-D guy already. But maybe they were like, you know what? We're picking one overall. We got to swing for the fences. What are your thoughts on Banchero being number one overall? Because if you are going to swing for the fences, why him and not Chet Holmgren?
Well, Chet Holmgren's a bigger if. And Orlando obviously had Jonathan Isaac and they had Mo Bamba, two really, really thin, fragile bigs that they've drafted, frontcourt players that drafted that have really, really worked out. So I think this was the safest pick in terms of, look, 6'10", 255, highly skilled. Can play in isolations, great passer, Chris Webber-type vision and feel as a passer from the front court, obviously not committed defensively. He's a guy that's going to probably score 18 points a game next year. I mean, his body is NBA ready. He's got to get world-class shape. Jabari Smith, a little different. I like Jabari Smith because I think they need, culture players. And I'm not saying that Banchero's not a culture player, but I thought Jabari Smith was the best two-way front court player in terms of, you call him a 3-and-D, I call him a guy that could be, you know, a 10-year all-star who, you know, can shoot it, who can play in pick and pop, can play also in a short role, is not a good defender, an elite defender, can switch one through four. So I actually thought Houston got a great deal because they got two guys in Tari Eason and Jabari Smith that actually helped them fill their need, and that is guys that can be two-way players.
Coach, when you look at the Sacramento Kings, did they make a mistake when they passed on Jaden Ivey and took Keegan Murray?
I don't think they made a mistake. I thought they were going to use that pick to get a veteran player. I think that was the bigger thing. I mean, here's the thing. You got Davion Mitchell, right there, and you got the Aaron Fox. The Aaron Fox and Jaden Ivey are very similar players. You know, uber athletic, downhill players, get to the rim. Adequate shooters, not great shooters, but guys that can help you win. And then all of a sudden you take Jaden Ivey, he's almost duplicating, where Keegan Murray is one of the most versatile and efficient players in the draft. Keegan Murray, people, again, Iowa, Luka Garza the year before was the player of the year. He went from a 7-point game scorer to a 24-point game scorer. He went from, I think, a 28% three-point shooter to almost a 40% three-point shooter. He can rebound the ball. He can shoot the ball. He's a committed defender. And he's a high character guy that they need. Sacramento needs, and not saying Jaden Ivey isn't, Sacramento needs a foundation. They haven't won in forever. They haven't been in the playoffs in forever. And I think that, you know, what they said is right now we're gonna win with high character, maturity, which Keegan Murray has, and versatility, and instead of duplicating a position you have already.
I don't know. I mean, to me, Coach, I think you just grabbed the best player. But, okay, to each their own. When you talk about who has a chance to be the best player in this draft, who's not the obvious, you know, Chet Holmgren, who do you see and you go, that guy might surprise people?
Yeah, I think, you know, look, the biggest wild card in the draft is Shaedon Sharpe. I mean, because we haven't seen him. We do know he's a world-class athlete. We do know that he can shoot the ball, effortlessly from semi-logo range. We do know that he can put the ball on the floor and play both on the ball and off the ball. I would say he's the biggest question mark that could be a superstar. But then you got to look and say, right, who's going to be a fit? Who's going to get the opportunity right now? Who's going to be the guy that, you know, has a chance to do, you know, something special? I think Mathurin for the Pacers is another guy. See, I'm all about the 6'6", 6'7", hybrid wings, the Jaylen Browns, Jason Tatums. That is the new NBA. So if you're going to find a guy that's going to be like that, I think those guys that went back-to-back, Mathurin and Sharpe, potentially down the line, have a chance to, you know, if you eliminate those top four, have a chance to be really special.
Coach, when you look at the Orlando Magic, they have actually drafted well the last few years. You talk about the guys that they've been able to bring in. You talk about Suggs. You talk
Cole
about
Anthony,
Cole Anthony,
Franz Wagner, Suggs, exactly.
All those guys. To add Banchero to that, what's the next step for the Orlando Magic to turn those draft picks into wins now in playoff appearances?
Yeah, they do. I really like Wagner, and obviously Cole Anthony had a really solid year, and obviously you got a great leader, Jalen Suggs. I think you need one more big wing to complement. I think the NBA is going into. You can play Franz Wagner, who's a terrific passer and a two way player. He's going to be fine. And Cole Anthony is explosive, and you got a great leader, obviously, in Suggs. So you know, you need to continue to develop your role players. You got to continue, like the NBA, and this is the thing, like the end of the draft, after 10, you know, you talk about best available, Max, you know what it is? It's the guy that's going to embrace his role and where there's a role and an opportunity and a fit. It's really that plain and simple because, you know, the top of the draft is a lot of times, all right, the guys that are going to be the focal point of the draft, but it's 15 through 30 and the first 15 in the second round, as we see where you see, like, the Draymond Greens, and you see those role players. The league is a league of role players. Where's PJ Tucker? Where's Draymond Green? Where are those guys that take your team and basically you don't have to run a play for them. They're going to defend. They're going to rebound. They're going to brace the role. They're going to play off your great players and make the game easier for your great players. So I think people underestimate the draft. I've got to get to one thing. I've got to get this off my chest, if you don't mind.
We're talking to Seth Greenberg, ESPN basketball analyst on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. Shoot, Coach, what do you want to say?
Yeah, all right. Like, I'm watching the draft, and I'm watching 19-year-old kids that are, get drafted, all right, and maybe it's in the first round, at the beginning of the second round, all right, and they look like they're crushed. They look like they're crushed. And I think we have
– because they didn't go higher?
Because they didn't go higher. Like, the NBA is not a rite of passage. The NBA is the most exclusive club in sport. Usually there's only about 40 Americans that are drafted in the NBA. And I think we have so much pressure on these young people, and we saw Caleb Swanigan, who passed the other day and had some mental health issues. We've got to stop trying to create an unrealistic expectation. You know, I watched Jaden Hardy, who's going to be a nice player, played in the G League, shot 27% from three-point line. He was devastated. Right? He got drafted – 37. That means he's projected as one of the top 37 players coming out in the world. Instead of celebrating, a lot of these young people, unfortunately, there's an expectation, and the expectation is created by maybe sometimes the people around them, the pressure of the people around them, and it hurt me to watch some of these kids come up there and not be excited about the next step. There's a process. It's not a rite of passage, and that you've got to respect that process. So I had to get it off my chest because, it's unfortunate that I'm going to use this young man as an example. You know, Jaden Hardy, like E.J. Liddell was a really good basketball player, scored 20 points a game in college basketball, was one of the best players in the Big Ten. He went after him. Kennedy Chandler led Tennessee to one of the an absolutely incredible year. He's an elite potential point guard in the Darius Garland mode. Not that good, but I mean a very good player. We've got to stop setting unrealistic expectations and let these 18 and 19 year old kids understand that it's a lot harder than it looks on TV. Harry, I'd be interested in your take because you lived it as an athlete.
Well, I think when we put these expectations on people, I know a lot of people, especially NFL-wise, they're just excited to get drafted, right? Whether it's the first round, second round, third round, mm-hmm. seventh round. But then when you get to free agency, a lot of guys aren't upset at being free agents because now you get to pick where you want to go. Yep. So I think it might be different in the NFL versus the NBA.
So I feel mm-hmm. very bad for the kids who can't enjoy it and all that stuff. Yeah, yeah. Listen, Coach, what are your thoughts on the Kyrie Irving situation? That's what the people want to know. Evan, as a matter of fact, come in. I know. Sing me cry me a river. He drafted 37th, and he's upset when he should be happy. And elite, one of the greatest athletes who ever lived, if you ever make it to the NBA and you're not 6'10". Evan, come. I need your help with this. Please explain the whole Kyrie Irving contract situation because I want to get Coach Seth Greenberg's thoughts on the situation, yeah. But I want the details first.
Okay, so Kyrie Irving has a trade wish list of teams that he can go to. And it is the Lakers, the Clippers, the Knicks, the Heat, the Mavericks, and the Sixers. So he wants to be traded to those teams if he can't get a deal with the Nets. So that list, does he have a no-trade clause? He does not. He has a $5 million trade kicker after he opts in to his player option. And he could waive that $5 million trade kicker that the Nets would have to pay by trading him. He has done this in the past when he went to the Celtics. He waived it to go to the team that he wants. So he doesn't have a no-trade clause, but the Nets would have to pay him $5 million if they traded him to a team that, say, he didn't want to go to. Seth, what are your thoughts on this?
Here's my question. Well, obviously, the Knicks cleared a bunch of cap space. They don't have enough space, obviously, to get maybe a Kyrie Irving. But it's real simple. Kyrie says, I want to stay in Brooklyn. I want to be part of it. I want to be this with KD. KD obviously is his guy. KD ended up there because of Kyrie. And then he gives you a list of teams. It's such a Kyrie thing. Because on the night of the NBA draft, it becomes about what? It becomes about Kyrie.
The timing of it.
Kyrie is a special
Coach, to be fair to Kyrie, the draft it precipitates a lot of player movement and stuff and deals.
Yeah, conversation.
Yeah, and not to mention conversation. So on the one hand, I know what you mean. Like when Carson Wentz released stuff to, I don't want to be here if I can start, the day that Jalen Hurts gets his first start. Come on, Wentz. But in this case, there is a certain kind of time sensitivity here, right?
Yeah, well, but it's a good time sensitivity. It's not going to change. Yeah, the day of the draft, you're looking for trade opportunities. But this is potentially a free agent. It's not like they're going to be a signed trade. Let me ask you guys this: Kyrie Irving, tremendous talent. I mean, ridiculous. One of the most unique talents that's been in the NBA in a long time. All right, he's great. But I mean, like, can you count on him? No, you can't. I mean, and that's not a knock against them.
No, we're talking about availability. It's so weird, Coach, because you're right. He'll look for a cause bigger than him to attach himself to. He's injured a lot, all that. And yet, if it's a game seven or it's a win-or-go-home game, that dude got ice water in his veins. Like, he's a killer in the clutch. So, like, it's weird.
Let me ask you this, though. Harry, let me ask you this, because that sounds great. Uh-huh. And I agree with everything you said, Max. Mm-hmm. Everything you said. The deal is, all right, the guy picks and chooses. Now, you've got to be desperate to have a guy in your locker room, and not that he's not a good teammate, because everyone says he's a good teammate, that you can't count on when you're trying to build a winning culture long term. I'm going to be a Celtic for life. KD and I'm going to go help the Nets, and we're going to figure out who we need. Like, come on, man.
But, Coach, I'll say this. Part of this is the Nets' problem, because they allow certain things to happen. And it's hard to come back from being the nice guy and trying to be the mean guy versus starting off with tough riddings and then you become nice. The Nets open up this Pandora's box.
Coach, listen. You're being a little bit of a grumpy old man here. A little bit, Coach. A little bit.
God, I'm being honest.
Yes, you're
Max,
being
I'm
a little
being
grumpy,
honest,
Coach. A little grumpy.
First of all, I'm not an old man, Max. Number two is, I mean, I'm being honest. Look, he's a talented player.
Coach, if I'm an old man, come on. I'm an old man. I can count.
Here's the dude. He can help you win or he can help you get fired.
Right. I hear you. If Kyrie Irving's available, everything you said, like just what you said, is right. I agree with everything. Kyrie Irving's available. I'm taking him. Like, he's just too good. But I hear you, Coach. Look, that is the great Seth Greenberg. Listen, that's James Steele, Steele music. When Alan Yates is on the boards, it's hip-hop, and when James Steele is on the boards, we get more of this kind of sound. And James, listen, just the way things worked out because of the pandemic and this and that and when everyone had to work, James has apparently, Harry Douglas, never, Harry's in for Key and Jay today, Keyshawn, J. Will and Max, ESPN Radio, never been alone without his wife in the house with his now three children. There they are. It's a little more raucous now already. I see or hear the volume up a little bit, James. What's the update? Joanna, the 7-year-old, Sydney, the 5-year-old, Oscar, the 3-year-old. What's the update, James?
Everyone is awake, mm-hmm. and we're playing Barbies.
Oh, that's nice.
Did daddy give y'all cookies yet? Did daddy give y'all cookies?
Yeah, what was for breakfast, kids?
Well, ask for cookies. He's going to give y'all cookies. You got to make sure you ask for cookies. Tell him I approved of it.
What was for breakfast? What was for breakfast?
Everyone just woke up. We haven't had breakfast yet.
What?
Okay. James, you're going to have to, I don't know. I know you don't know this because usually your wife is around, but you are going to have to feed the children at some point.
Yeah. Yeah, I have a little bit of experience with that.
Yes.
So we'll get some breakfast here at some point.
Kids, this is your chance to smuggle some sugar into the day. For some reason, you're allowed to have very sugary things at breakfast. So, as Harry was saying, if you could have anything, hey, Joanna, if you could have anything for breakfast, what would it be? What would it be? You could have anything for breakfast in the whole wide world.
What do you want for breakfast?
Anything in the whole wide world. What would it be?
Cereal.
Okay, cereal. So you get all
pebbles?
Life.
Fruity Pebbles?
What kind of cereals do you keep in the house, James?
I think there's Cheerios.
All right.
Come on, James.
Very healthy and sensible.
It's a sponsor, so that's good, right?
That's good. You have any fruity pebbles or cinnamon, Cocoa Krispies?
No one's going to eat the fruity cereal.
Okay, so he's staying with the healthy route. Okay.
No, I think we have like Cinnamon Toast Crunch.
All right, that's always popular.
Frosted Flakes. Sounds like sugary cereal.
Breakfast at James's house sounds like it stinks.
What's at your house, Pat?
We're not really a big breakfast family.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I have to, listen, every day I wake up with the girls, my girls, I have to figure out, in my head I'm thinking, how much protein, carbohydrate, vitamins? Here, take this little vitamin, plus, okay, I'll give, would you eat this egg? What about you? Will you have a piece of cheese? It's like three different breakfasts trying to get them to eat stuff.
Nobody eats the same thing here.
But I'll bet you when mom is in the house, they all eat what she gives them.
Nope. Well, it's even worse.
Do they love bacon?
Johanna does. My 7-year-old. She likes bacon. Well, okay. I know.
Tell daddy to cook some bacon. The kids have to eat, James. Breakfast is the most important meal of the day.
The children are going to have to eat at some point.
I like bacon.
What else you got planned for today?
I don't know.
She never tries it.
We'll probably play outside a little bit.
Play outside, okay.
Hopefully. We have a trampoline now.
Sounds dangerous.
Hopefully a nap is in our future, I would hope.
You got one of those trampolines with the nets over them, James?
Yeah. Very safe.
So you're the most popular family on the block. Anyone who has a trampoline, those new trampolines, my kids won't shut up. How can we go to so-and-so's house because they have a trampoline?
But, James, who
I don't think we're in that. We're not in that realm yet because Joe's the only one in school so far.
Who needs a nap? You or the kids?
Me.
Have you ever been in those? Those are fun.
They never need
you. Ever been in those?
What?
The trampolines with the nets? Oh, yeah. Fun as hell.
Yeah. All right.
Listen, who will overthrow James' authority? Oscar is number one because he's the youngest. And Johanna, by the way, see, it's good to have someone like, hey,
what?
Johanna, are you there?
Yeah.
Can you hear me? You know, I think your dad is very lucky because when the oldest kid has a personality like you, which seems to be very reasonable and mature, it's a good example for the other siblings, and it makes life easier for your mom and dad. Are you the calmer one? Are your siblings more wild than you?
Yeah.
Yeah, see, I can see that.
She's my only ally right now.
Yeah, so. I can see that.
Sydney's like, hold on now. What are we talking about here?
Well, I can see, James, that you have a nice, pretty normally adjusted family, and therefore this segment maybe didn't go as swimmingly as we would like. A little more dysfunction maybe would spice it up a little bit. So, you know, but
usually there's more chaos.
Yeah.
Sorry, guys.
I think that if you just, keep starving them, like don't give them food, maybe eventually this segment will spice up a little bit next time we check
in. Seriously going to get a knock on the door. We heard you weren't feeding
your kids. I don't think I'm going to take that advice. Yeah. I'm not going to take that advice.
When are you going to, hungry, Johanna? You are getting hungry.
Tell your dad to
feed
you.
If mom was there, would you have eaten breakfast already, do you suspect?
Yeah.
Yeah, I know, yeah.
What are you talking about?
Come on, moms are better than dads.
What's going on? Maybe she is the one who's going to overthrow me.
Yeah, that's right. All right, well, very beautiful family, the Steele family, ladies and gentlemen.
We're going to go get breakfast.
Look at these kids. These are the kind of kids that
ask for cookies.
Don't give their dad any trouble. You have a lot of nerve complaining about parenting without your wife there with these three angels, James.
I hope things stay this calm. Let's just cross our fingers.
I'm more disappointed that this is the first time that you have been with those kids alone without your wife. I don't know.
If that's Oscar's, more disappointed or the kids Oscar's shaving already, and it's the first time they've been alone together?
Overnight. No, we've been there. Like, I take them places by myself, but like Lisa's gone for like the weekend. She won't be back until late on Sunday. So
you.
Like, this is the first time it's an extended overnight.
Well, I'm still.
I know the feeling though. It feels
I'm
like
still
there's. It feels
upset
like
with you,
it feels like the dad doesn't have any parental supervision when the mom is gone. Right?
Yes. There's no reinforcements now. Right?
Who's gonna babysit you, James? That's the question. That's right.
I don't know.
Don't you grab that can, James? Keep that can in the cooler. No.
We check back in with the Steele family, and there it is. Good job, Johanna. You're holding it all together. I can see that. Very good. Thank you, James. Thank you, Johanna and Oscar. And wait, who's the middle one? Sydney. Excellent. Sydney.
Make Daddy have a tea party with y'all.
Keyshawn, J. Will and Max is presented by Progressive Insurance. Tune into an NL battle Sunday as the Braves host the Dodgers. Coverage of Sunday Night Baseball begins at 6 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app, and at 7 p.m. on ESPN. All right, speaking of children, How did Cooper Manning's kid turn into the best Manning? He's the best one, apparently, right?
Yeah.
Is he going to be better than Peyton? Peyton's one of the greatest players of all time. Next on ESPN Radio.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack your 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th, one-time use only, not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Keyshawn, J. Willimax, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM Channel 80. Which quarterback in the NFL does less with more than Dak Prescott?
Now throw your hands up in the sky.
What happened? Are we on or not? Now we're on. Okay.
I hear you.
Which quarterback in the NFL does less with more than Dak Prescott? 888-729-3776. 888-SAY-ESPN. We had one very good caller say Baker Mayfield. We weren't even thinking Baker because he's not really a starter anymore, at least not until Seattle picks him up. You know, that'll happen pretty soon. But, yeah, I would say that's fair to say. Baker's done less with more than Dak Prescott, although he's been in the league a lot less, a lot, you know, Dak's been in the
time, yeah.
Yeah, Dak's been in the league a lot longer, and they have the same number of career playoff wins. And, by the way, Dak is in the softer division. All right. Right now, Peter Thamel, ESPN, college football senior writer with us. What's going on, Peter?
Max, Harry, how are you guys doing?
Doing well this morning. How about yourself, my man?
We're doing great. We're doing great. Happy day after Arch Manning Day.
Yeah, right, exactly. It's supposed to be the NBA draft, but somehow, how big was it for Texas to get? I mean, like, I can't remember another football prospect who we've been eyeballing since the seventh grade, right? How big was it for Texas to get Arch Manning to commit?
I don't think you can overstate the importance of it for a few reasons. One is Texas went 5-7 last year. They lost at home to Kansas, and they lost at Arkansas by 19-21. It was they got blown off the field at Arkansas. And for a program, Max, that's going to go to the SEC in 2025, that Arkansas game was a scary barometer. It was, we're three touchdowns away from the middle of the pack in the SEC. So the symbol of Arch Manning's commitment may be more important than the commitment itself, because it is the number one player in the country and football's number one family in the country putting their faith in Steve Sarkisian after a shaky year one as a massive rebuild needs to take hold. Now, credit this to Texas. They've had an awful offensive line for almost a decade. They haven't won a league title since 2009. That's Colt McCoy when they went and played for Bama in the title, and Colt got hurt in the first half of that game. So the offensive line getting rebuilt is a huge first step. But what Manning does is he makes Texas cool. He makes Texas sexy. I expect skill players to start committing there left and right because, of course, people want to play with Arch Manning. So there's just so many layers to this, but it ultimately comes down to a vote of confidence in Steve Sarkisian by not only Arch Manning, but essentially by proxy, the Manning family. And that allows Texas to change the trajectory and perhaps the pace of the rebuild they're in.
So, Pete, we know the Manning name holds and carries a ton of weight. What does that NIL deal look like for Arch Manning? Because we know that's what everybody wants to figure out. What's the NIL
right
situation?
Right now, it looks like mine, Harry. Squat. The Mannings ran a different kind of recruitment. And they wanted it. Nelson Stewart, who's the longtime coach at Isidore Newman and one of the classiest characters in the high school game, spoke to me for a while about this yesterday. And he said all along that Cooper Manning, Arch's dad, wanted a 1970s style recruitment, which is just a lot different than hats on the table and picking on ESPNU and, you know, Instagram graphic. I've cut my list to 15 that we see today. Right. So it was as underpublicized as possible. And part of that was that Arch Manning, to our knowledge anyway, right now, does not have any NIL deals lined up. Now, trust me, he's going to be okay. Nobody's playing a violin.
Wait, that's shocking. Wait, hold on, Pete. Back up for a second. I assume there was enormous money already there, but nothing has been done yet.
Nothing has been done publicly. The family is, I don't think anything's done. In some ways, Max, it's an interesting philosophical question of how much NIL stuff do you do now and how much do you wait? You guys were just talking about Dak Prescott before you had me on, I heard. And I got to know Dak reasonably well when he was at Mississippi State. And remember, he was, third, fourth round pick, didn't have a ton of salary, on his initial deal. And I just remember every choice you make to take an endorsement deal early potentially undercuts you late. And so in dealing with this first wave of NIL guys, there's the, I can take a trading card deal now, but I flood the market for later. So anything you do in the short term before your name is really big and before you've proven it on the field undercuts potentially your earning power in the long term.
On the other hand, Pete, on the other hand, Arch has a chance to take generations of his family out of poverty if he with a good NIL deal. He's certainly in a position where he doesn't have to do anything until they're satisfied that it's perfect, right?
Correct. Yeah. And so I think most veteran marketers would tell high school and college kids to be patient because the real money comes down the road when you're proven. And whether you can execute that patience or not, depends on your financial situation. I'm certainly not judging the guys who have taken deals or are taking deals because there's a risk reward with everything, but some quite frankly need it more than others. And if Arch Manning doesn't need it, there's an argument to where, all right, we're not going to take, the local chicken shack in your SEC town. And we're not going to take that stuff now because we're going to wait for the Gatorade, the Coke, the real endorsements to come later. So, ultimately, Arch Manning's decision is rooted in that he doesn't need it. I think that no one has said that, but that I think that's fairly obvious. And there is some wise strategy to when you can get a cut that meat commercial down the road, why take something now in the short term? That said, he's projected to be worth millions. I expect him to do some deals when he's at Texas. I don't think they're going to be as judicious going forward. But they wanted
no-frills
70s style recruitment, and they got it.
Pete, we are right up against it. Thanks a million. We're coming right back on ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.